2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tonight. I promise not to preach as long as Brother Messer tonight. But honestly, the time went by so quickly, and I couldn't figure out why everybody was dashing for the door. I know that we all turn into pumpkins at midnight, but I didn't realize that we did at 9 o'clock. But anyway, the Lord knows. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Always interesting to me that Satan's primary work in the world is to oppose and to try to frustrate the work of God. That's what the devil's up to. And you can look at God's word and you can see nothing's changed. This is what the enemy has always been up to, opposing and trying to frustrate the work of the Lord. Especially when you have a meeting like we did this morning, when you have a lot of unsaved people here, and hopefully everybody didn't know, but I sensed it and I saw it and I witnessed it. I know there was the enemy trying to frustrate the plan of God, trying to hinder the service and what God was wanting to do. But anytime, I've noticed this over the years, anytime there's a real focus on reaching the lost and trying to appeal to sinners, that you can expect Satan to rear up his head and show himself and try to hinder what the Lord was doing. I'm talking about things like, you know, sound system not exactly right, kid noises, cell phone noises, my own feeble attempt to preach to the lost, and other different things that were going on this morning. And all of it, I know that the Lord is able to speak to us and help us. But I also recognize when the enemy is up to no good, trying to hinder what God wants to accomplish. And I think that all of us need to be attentive to that. We need to be sensitive to that. Whenever the enemy is working and he is trying to hinder the work of the Lord. I want you to notice this from the text, that Satan, that one of the things that will characterize the last days, which I believe we're living in right now, is some of these things that we read to you there from Thessalonians chapter 2. Don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit. Don't allow the things. It's talking about things that agitate you or shake you even to the foundations, so that the enemy is trying his best, and he knows what gets to you. He knows the thing that hinders you, and he knows how to hinder the work of God. He knows how to hinder a meeting. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that the devil is probably more faithful to church than some Christians are. He's always there. He's always there trying to stir up something, trying to hinder something, trying to hinder the move of God. and the Word of God and the working of the Spirit of God in a meeting such as this morning or tonight, the enemy shows up and his plan is to try to somehow stop or hinder or oppose the work of God. And if we understand that, then I think we can know what to do and how to respond a little bit better to what the enemy wants to do. That we be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. This is talking about, when it talks about my spirit, like someone who is pretending to speak for God or to speak of and to manifest in the spirit, or to be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. Words are powerful. Just a few words that can be spoken can do great damage to what God is wanting to do. That's why we need to pray over every service. We need to pray over Sunday school. We need to pray over, because whenever words are being spoken, they have the power of life and death. Amen. They can do a lot for good and for the glory of God, and they can do a lot to bring damage as well to the kingdom of God. And all in all, the enemy is trying to agitate. What he wants to do is topple over the plan of God, stop it, hinder it, and keep it from being the success that God wants it to be. And of course, describing this letter that the Apostle Paul has written here, he says, don't be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Apparently, there were those that were impersonating him or saying things and saying, Paul said this. Paul said this. And he said, don't be shaken by these who are imposters or who would speak things that I really didn't speak, trying to hinder the work of the Lord and what God is trying to do. And he said, one of the things that will be going on in the last days, he said, as the day of Christ is at hand. And we know that we're very, very, very close to the coming of the Lord. We're living in those times. And so the enemy shows up. And he's trying to hinder and stop the plan of God. He wants to discourage you in your pursuit of revival. He wants to hinder you in seeking God and drawing nearer to the Lord. He opposes every revival force, every evangelistic force, every attempt to do something for God. Satan is trying to turn it upside down and stop it and hinder it. He said, don't be soon shaken by all these things that the enemy is trying to do. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. Don't be taken in by any deceptive lies. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now, I believe that until Jesus comes, personally, everybody has their different, you know, eschatology, what they believe about the end time. But I believe that simultaneous with the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church is going to be the revelation of that man of sin. I really do. I believe he's going to step on the scene almost simultaneously. Some believe he's going to come at different times. But we do know that the scripture is very clear about the fact that that mystery of iniquity or that spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. And he's already working. Now he's limited because he's now, there's a restraining force that's in the world. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, who opposeth, that's what the devil does. That spirit of the last days is enemy. He is opposer and he exalts himself. He wants to get glory. He wants to steal the glory that belongs to the Lord, and he wants to oppose what God is trying to do. He opposeth and exalteth himself, and he wants to position himself so that he can receive the glory, whether it be in the church or in your life as a part of your daily testimony. He wants to slip in there and get control. And to oppose what God is wanting to do. But we need to remember, is what he says here. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth. What is the withholding force? What is the restraining force? We know it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of God in the church that is withholding and is the restraining force. It is He that is now withholding and stopping the Antichrist spirit from stepping on the scene and taking over everything. When the church exits this place via the rapture of the church, then the enemy is going to have his liberty and freedom. But until that time, he is withheld. He is restrained. He can't do all the things that he wants to do unless we allow him to. We have to let him in. We have to open up and let him in. Invite him in to our lives, to our church services. And the enemy wants to come to church. And he wants to tear up every part of it. He wants to hinder. He wants to be glorified. And he wants to oppose the plan of God. That's what the enemy has always been doing. Always been opposing the plan and the will of God. And when we see that that's what the enemy does, let me just refer you to a couple of other scriptures. Let's look at the vision. The vision that was Zechariah's fourth vision. And in this vision, I'm just going to paraphrase this. You can go back and read it on your own time. In this vision, it's a vision really about the nation of Israel and about their backslidings and the terrible spiritual condition that they are in. But that the Lord is going to turn them back to righteousness. But the scripture says that that he showed me Joshua, the high priest. And Joshua, the high priest, he is a symbol of the nation of Israel. And he said, he showed me, this is chapter 3, verse 1. And standing, he was standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And so this is a prophecy that was talking about when Jesus stepped on the scene, that there were going to be those Jews. Sure, there'll be a lot of rejectors and the Jewish nation crucified the Lord. But there were going to be a lot of those that were going to believe upon him. And a lot of Jews that were going to trust in him. And they were not going to trust in self-righteousness anymore. But they were going to trust in the righteousness of Christ. And Satan, the prophecy is that Satan is going to be standing right there when Jesus is trying to do his work, and he is declaring them righteous and bringing the message of the gospel to the Jewish nation. Satan is going to be right there opposing it, trying to stop it. The Bible says, Satan standing in his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? And so Jesus was going to come and the gospel was going to come to the Jewish nation, but not without opposition, not without a force. The enemy was going to be standing right there to stop the plan of God. And that was prophesied hundreds of years before the gospel and before Jesus came by Zechariah the prophet, that the enemy was going to be right there trying to stop what God was doing. Amen. So the answer to the question, does Satan come to church? Yes, he does. He does come to church. And everywhere that we give him an opportunity, he'll take control. He'll step in and he'll begin to influence you and to affect you. If you're not attentive to the voice of God and to the word of God and to the moving of the Spirit of God, you're going to be sucked into the temptations of the enemy because he wants to rob you. He's an opposer of everything that God wants to do. He didn't want the gospel to go forth this morning. He doesn't want the gospel to go forth tonight. He doesn't want people's needs to be met. He is an opposer. So remember that we have an adversary, the devil, and he is always walking about seeking those that he can devour. He's always opposing and trying to stop the work of the Lord. Amen. Do you remember when David... the Bible says that David was tempted, or he was the enemy. It says in 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1 that Satan stood up against Israel.
and provoke David to number Israel. What's the big deal about doing a census and counting all the people? Well, the big deal is that God had warned them not to do that. Not to do that. Why? Because they would count their horses and their armies and all of their mighty forces. They would count all the numbers that they had, and they would think, we're strong. We're self-sufficient. We can take care of our enemies. And they would become self-sufficient in their own abilities. And God warned them. He wanted them to trust in Him. And He'd warned David and He warned Solomon, don't count your armies. Don't count your horses. Don't count all of your fighting forces. But instead, put your trust in the Lord. That's why they did it. David did it. David had other times in his life where he had a lapse in his spiritual judgment, just as his sin with Bathsheba. This was another one. When the enemy stood up against him and he fell prey to the temptations and this deceptive lie of the enemy. You can see this, the example all throughout the scripture of the enemy coming against the people of God, coming against the plan of God, wanting to try to stop what God is doing. You remember the parable and several of the parables in Matthew 13. In Matthew 13 and 37. This describes the fact that even at the end of the age, at the time just before Jesus comes, that the enemy, and even though he knows he's defeated, even though he knows that judgment has already been pronounced upon him, he knows he's going to lose the fight. But that doesn't mean that he is going to give up that easy. At the last few moments of time, just before the Lord comes, he's going to step up his efforts. He's going to increase his efforts against the people of God. And he's going to oppose you, and he's going to oppose me, and he's going to oppose the work of the church, the ministry of the body of Christ, to try to hinder and to stop what God wants to do. The Bible says that the seed, the good seed, was sown, and in the fields, and then tares were sown among the good seed. Who did the sowing? The enemy did that, it says in verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who is it that's working to try to stop the plan of God in the last days? It's Satan. Satan himself, who wants to frustrate the plan of God and to oppose the plan of God. For those of you, and I know we have several here that have stood in the pulpit and preached the Word of God. Let me tell you, the enemy opposes the preaching of the Word of God. I'm telling you, he opposes God's Word. He opposes, he hates the messenger, and he even hates the message even more. And he opposes, and he wants to hinder and stop and distract and do everything he can from keeping the word of the Lord from going forth, because he knows the power of God's word. And so he wants to stop it. Amen. And this will characterize, it is characterizing, these last days that we're living in right now. Satan the opposer. Satan who hinders what God is wanting to do. Do you know that Satan was so bold and so brash that not only did he know he was defeated, but he knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the one that was going to put his head on his head and was going to stop him. He knew that the Son of God was the one that was going to win the victory in the end. But he still came against him in the wilderness and tempted him, telling him, cast yourself down. Tempting the Son of God, even though he knew that it was Jesus. This is the boldness and the brashness of Satan to come against the people of God. And he opposes you. And he hates this work of God right here on South Main Street. And he would like for us to be just a place where there's no move of God. And there's no voice of God and no spirit of God. He would love for this place to just be a museum of what used to be and what God has done in the past. But the will of God is that his work go forward. And that the Spirit of God be moving. And that we not allow the enemy to have access or to him to oppose or to hinder what God is trying to do in our lives. Amen. It was Simon who became Peter that was opposed. Luke 22, verse 31, the Bible says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you, just like he wanted Job. He wanted to get his hands on Simon. Why? Because he knew the potential of Simon, who was going to become Peter. He knew what he was going to be. He knew what the power of God resting upon Simon Peter was going to be. And so Jesus said, Simon, Satan wants you. He desires you. He wants to sift you. He wants to try to hinder you. He wants to put you through a great testing and a great sifting. And because he wants to destroy your life and destroy your ministry and destroy the potential of God's work through you and in your life. I've seen young people, even in their teens, the Spirit of God, God had his hand upon their life, but the enemy came against them to attack them, to stop them. I've witnessed it over the years, many with great potential to be something for God, and the enemy is attempting. He is attempting to try to hinder and to destroy what the Lord is trying to do. And he was trying to stop Peter. Jesus said, he wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to shake you and trouble you and agitate you. And he wants to work against you. He almost succeeded with Peter. He did come against Peter. And Peter denied the Lord. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And he even cursed whenever he was called one of those followers of Jesus. Peter sunk to a low in unbelief, and the enemy was working overtime to try to stop him and to get his hands on Peter. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee. Somewhere along the line, in all of the time, I don't know if it was in Peter's denial, I don't know at what time, in all of the circumstance of his sifting, I don't know when it was, but I just have to believe that along the way, the thing that caused him to have the faith enough to turn back and to come back and to put his trust in the Lord once again was the fact that he remembered the words of Jesus. I've prayed for you. Simon, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when thou art converted, or when you're turned around, when you come back, that you'll use that experience, you'll use that failure to strengthen the brethren. Instead of allowing it to be something that defeats you and stops you from fulfilling the plan of God in your life. Peter, you remember that I've prayed for you. Do you understand with me tonight that we have a high priest who is making intercession for us individually? And for us as a church. And he opposes what Satan is trying to do. And I want you to know that Jesus can bring us into victory. And we can experience the blessing and the anointing of the Spirit of God upon our lives and upon the church. So that whenever the enemy slips in and tries to mess up things and hinder what God is wanting to do, the Spirit of the Lord can begin to work and to move to accomplish what God wants to accomplish if we'll put our trust in him completely. You know, that's what Paul did. He completely trusted in the Lord. He didn't lean upon his training, his education. He didn't lean upon the fact that he had sat under the wisest and the most well-known of teachers. None of those things did he lean upon. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, I have determined, I have decided to not know anything among you. I've decided that all those things I've learned, I'm not going to trust in those things. But I'm going to put my full and complete trust in Jesus and in the Lord. I've determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he realized that that message, the message of Jesus, that's what we heard all week long. Brother Messer just kept bringing us back to the Lord, back to the cross, back to what Christ has done for every one of us. That's the power of our message. That's the power of our testimony. That's the power of our ministry here at this location. We can't get it done because we're all weak and we're all failures if we try to depend upon our own strength. Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He recognized that he was no match for any force of the enemy. In his own strength, he was going to fall. He was going to fail. He understood that. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration. The word there means an exhibition, to show the power of God. That's what the apostle did. He said, I've come and my dependence is upon Christ and the power of the Spirit and a demonstration of His power and His Spirit. Amen. That's what he had put his dependence upon. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why do we pray? Because we know we need God. We need His power. Why do we come together and seek the Lord and ask the Lord to pour His Spirit out upon us corporately as a group of people? Because when we come together to have church, there are going to be people that are going to walk in here with desperate needs. And we've seen those people in recent services. All kinds of desperate needs and problems. And quite frankly, there's not much we can do about it. We can't help them. Our counsel is going to be pretty limited. There's going to have to be something supernatural that takes place that can bring them out of their bondage and to give them hope. And that's through Jesus Christ. We can't do it. Amen. If we try in our own strength, whenever Satan rises up to oppose us, we're going to fall. We are going to fall. We are not going to be able to withstand these forces. In these last days, Satan is unleashing every possible lie, every possible trick that he has trying to oppose the work of the Lord. But we who depend upon the power of God and are believing God for a demonstration of His power and His Spirit, that He can take your feeble effort and my feeble efforts and He can turn it into something mighty and powerful for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There has to be a willingness to completely depend upon the Lord. Amen. So let's remember every time we come together, whether it's a prayer meeting or a Wednesday night service or whatever, whenever we come together, that the Lord is going to be here, but you can also be sure that the enemy is going to try to get in here too. He's going to try to oppose and interrupt and frustrate what God is wanting to do. That's why I say all the time, please pray. Please pray for the services. Please come and pray for the services, because we know that we have an adversary who's going to oppose the work of God and the will of God. Amen. Whatever God moves. That's the reason why that God can use, and He has chosen to use, the weak, the base, many times the unlikely, the foolish of this world. He just uses those who are absolutely dependent upon Him. Amen. Glory to God. And as we do, then we can see God working and moving in these last days. He's opposing. He wants to exalt Himself. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to get the glory and the honor. But we want to focus on Christ, on the message of Jesus Christ, and declaring that message and letting this world know that we depend upon Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as a church, let's not give place to the devil. Let's not give him an opportunity. Let's don't open the door for the enemy to squeak in here and try to you know, interrupt what God is wanting to do. But instead, let's put our complete trust in him. Hallelujah.